Good morning, everyone. I know we said we're going to do announcements at the end. However, today we're not. Well, one of them. As you all know, our dinner is this Thursday, our harvest dinner. And we seriously need helpers. And it would benefit the people that are organizing this to know that you are coming and not just showing up at 3 o'clock on Thursday. It causes great stress and worry for those that are planning. So, is there anybody out there who is not signed up who would gladly raise their hand right now and I will put you on the schedule?
Uh-oh.
Server. That's what we need. Servers. Yep, we need servers.
Yeah.
Dan, would you be a server?
You're talking about help on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday?
Thursday.
Oh, Thursday.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll be here to take those out to the cars.
A runner.
You want to be a runner? All right.
Yeah. I'll do stuff after I'm done delivering.
Okay.
I'm already here.
Me too, if he brings me back.
Well, I'm not taking you home.
Yes, Sheila.
And Lucy has a
Lucy? Anyone else would like to serve? We even have special spoons this year, so you're not going to have to guess how much to put in. Please, please, we need you, really. This is, you know, it takes all of us to put this together.
David?
Two of us.
All right.
Sue will not.
No, we'll put you as a server, and we probably could come up with chairs if somebody needs to sit, too. We'll accommodate.
I'll be there.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, that helps a lot, and I greatly appreciate those that have volunteered. So we still do need a few more, so keep thinking about it, and please let us know if you are coming. All right? Thank you, thank you. Okay, if you will stand and join me in the call to worship. Actually, I goofed. It says, please listen in silence. So, sorry. You can sit if you'd like. Rest here a while. Lay aside the heavy burden of the world, of darkness and foreboding. Do not look back or look ahead. Do not cling to anything that is not God. Be here in this quiet place, in this refreshing stillness. Come here to the fountain of God's love and drink of these waters. They are living waters of the Spirit that satisfy the thirsty soul. Here is where you ask that you may receive.
Amen.
And now if you'll join me for the first hymn, number 61.
Glorious, for always.
If you'll please greet somebody with a smile, a handshake, whatever's comfortable for you.
Peace. And bless you. Get in car. Peace.
You were on charge. I know.
And
you know what?
Morning.
Glad you're here.
I'll tell
him too.
Peace. So glad you're here. Peace. You holding up?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Peace. And thank you.
Just let me know.
Uh-huh. Hey. Peace. And also to you. Uh-oh.
She is kind of that way, you know.
Please take a moment to look at the prayer requests. Several things to draw attention to. Keep Kelly Smith and family in prayer. Her grandmother, Hazel, has died. Okay. And she is a person who gifted Clinton Church with angel costumes. And do keep them in your prayers. Okay. Now, often we find ourselves reaching out into the community. And sometimes it's because of our friends, sometimes it's because of our children's friends. Please remember Danielle and her daughters, okay? Their husband and father died within the last 2 weeks, and it's been exceedingly hard. He is a very young person. He's 46. Okay? And the prayer quilt will be going to the family. But this affects not only big people, this affects the children too. Okay.
Pastor?
Yes. That was a beautiful sermon. We won't take an extra offering, though. Guys, We have a number of people who, how do you describe it when you go through a troubled time and then you're putting your life back together?
Life.
You call it life. Okay. A number of us are going through those kinds of things. All right. Let's remember each other in prayer. One of the reasons we're the church is to remind each other that we're not alone. Okay. We're not alone. Let's join together in prayer. Oh Lord, what can we say? Life is not always easy. Stuff happens we don't understand. Problems arise that we just can't fix. Sometimes, oh Lord, even when we try to fix things, it seems like we just make them worse. Oh Lord, we want to be about the work of the kingdom. And not just busy work. Oh Lord, this congregation feeds lots of people. And we'll be doing that again this week. Help us in our ministry, oh Lord. What we're doing this week will help lots of families have one night where they can all sit down together and nobody has to cook. And that's rare. Oh Lord, be with us as we deal with our own struggles. Some of us are wrestling with health issues. Some of us have difficulties, body, mind, and spirit. Oh Lord, you're the great physician. And there are times when we're like the man that was by the pool of Bethesda. And you asked that man, what is it you want? And the man said, I want to be healed. That's what we want. We know you can. We pray you will. Our world is full of all kinds of trouble and strife. Some of it, oh Lord, is murderous. Doesn't do any good to take sides. We just know that we cannot continue without peace. We can't continue without the kingdom of God coming in its fullness. It's for that kingdom we pray every time we join our voices together in the words you taught us to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Could we take a moment to listen to God in silence? For God speaks in turn during prayer. Amen.
This one you can join me in, please, putting our faith into words. We believe that God is the ground of our being. God is the one in whom all the roots of who we are take hold, and the source and power of life and love. We believe that Jesus, who was one of us and is one with God, vitally connects all that is human with all that is God. Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches. We believe that we humans, the branches, are where growth and blossom and fruit come into being. It is within us that God is experienced or denied. It is through us that love becomes reality by what we feel and think and do. We believe that we cannot grow or blossom or bear fruit alone. Together, the branches connected to the vine are the church. The church is the expression of God in the world by living love, forgiveness, and peace that Jesus has shown us. Amen. Please stand for the Gloria.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Seated.
Glory.
Amen. You can clap. You can say amen.
Just don't throw rotten tomatoes. Just save the roll.
You can throw money. Would the children come, please? For the Bible tells me so, little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. You've been watching the Three Stooges. Loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Hi, it's so good to see you. How are you doing? Are you doing okay? The question for the week, are the big people making you crazy?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
They're
making me really crazy.
Really crazy?
At school?
All the time, huh? Yeah. So, sometimes that part's not easy. Now, I want to talk to you about something that's hard to talk about. Because if I talk about it, we're not doing it. You did it. Quiet. That can be so hard.
Nope.
Yep.
I did. We got it sure effort.
You did good, but it's still hard. Okay? And I know it's hard for you because it's hard for the big people. You know what the most difficult time of the worship service is, other than the sermon when I go overtime? It's the minute that we're quiet at the end of our prayer time. When we're quiet, okay, we can listen. And one of the things that God wants us to do is God wants us to be quiet, okay? And it helps, let me finish. It helps us to be quiet at least once a day for one reason. Let me finish. Okay? And the reason is so we can listen for God to talk to us. We often talk
a lot,
and we talk to God a lot. Thank you for raising your hand. You wanted to say?
Like when we are trying to listen to God.
Mm-hmm. When we're silent, one of the things that we do is we listen to God. And we can tell when God talks to us. God will never tell us to hurt somebody. God will never tell us to destroy stuff.
Unless it was April Fool's
Day. I haven't decided whether God plays April Fool's jokes or not. It's a good question. But God won't tell us to do harm. You know, I tell the big people that the church has three basic rules because we're Methodist. Okay? Do no harm. Do good. Pay attention to God. One of the questions that's really hard is how can we pay attention to God when we're talking all the time? Hard question, huh?
Yeah.
And now I'm going to pray. I'm going to talk to God. Oh, Lord, just help us. For some reason, it's ever so hard for us to just be quiet. It seems like quiet just slips away all the time. But we need quiet so we can hear you. Help us, O Lord, to listen, to be quiet so that we can hear you. Hear our prayer, O Lord. Amen. I think we have some treats. You already know? We do. And Sunday school teachers are already making their way, getting ready for you. Thank you for coming. Oh, goodness. I always have problems with flies because I don't know whether to smash them or put them outside. What do you think? Smash them? Go for it. Smash them. Thank you. That's such a hard choice. Not for you. Thank you for giving me that room. Thank you. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him, all of ye heavens.
We thank you for the sunshine. We thank you, O Lord, that you've made it possible for the harvest to happen. We thank you, O Lord, for all your good gifts. And from those gifts, we bring our gifts. We bring ourselves. And we pray that you would take everything and use all for the glory of your kingdom. Amen. Our hymn of preparation is 469. Jesus is the Son, you may be seated. The scripture focus for this morning is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11. Actually, I'm going to read half of the previous verse. We urge you, beloved, to do so more and more, to aspire to live quietly, to mind your own affairs, to work with your own hands as we directed you. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Yes, you have homework. Okay? Your homework is to read 1 Thessalonians. It's not that long. Okay? Now, if you don't get anything else out of what I'm trying to do this morning, I hope you get this. Most often, we do not realize that it is when we study to be quiet that we are doing our best listening for the voice of God. There are all sorts of things that we talk about as part of Christian life, and most of those things focus on doing. Our effort tends to be to encourage the active, get-off-your-dead-butt sort of Christian discipleship. I would never, as a preacher, do that to you. Legitimately, we want people to be ready to stand before Jesus and hear him say, "Come, you are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Okay. When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you? Then the king will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these, my brethren, you did for me." What I just read is the final exam when we ultimately meet Jesus. It's the only time that the gospel tells what Jesus says the final exam is going to be. Notice the kind of questions that are on it. Now, admittedly, most of us do altogether too little to be prepared to hear those words. Our world, our nation, our neighborhood remains filled with the hungry, the thirsty, the homeless, the inadequately clothed, the sick, and the imprisoned. We fail to do for Christ because we fail to do for them. The day will come when we will no longer be able to avoid our failure. That's called the final judgment. As much as we desperately need to do in our discipleship, there's something that is just or even more vital that we almost all totally ignore. Our world makes this one aspect of discipleship close to impossible to cultivate. We go to great lengths to avoid this particular spiritual exercise when it comes to studying. Being a friend to quiet, we almost all flunk. I'm very aware of the most difficult part of the Sunday morning service. I do count the seconds. Okay? This morning it was 42. Which says about something about me in quiet time. Okay? And did you notice with the children what happened? When I said, if we talk, we're not doing it. And then I buttoned it. They lasted longer than some of you do. It's hard. It's just terribly hard. Ours is a horribly noisy world, both inside of us and outside of us. I've been waiting for the train horn. And despite our frequent protest to the contrary, we like it noisy. We have a low tolerance for quiet or silence. The television, radio, tape or CD, MP3, I'm showing my age here. Okay, or the streaming audio on the computer, the cell phone, okay. Somebody was telling me that they had music on an iPod, and I was so proud of myself because I remembered what an iPod is.
Can't run it, but you know what it is.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. We're almost always filling our lives with sound, We talk a lot, face-to-face, on the phone, on the cell phone, and any of a number of other ways. An author I've read describes silence as something rather like an endangered species, then goes on to encourage people to be dedicated and creative in preserving something precious that we are about to drive into extinction. The Apostle Paul exhorts Christians to study to be quiet. That's how it gets translated. Okay. However, we find that so hard. We have our moment of silent prayer and worship. We're one of the rare congregations that still do that, mostly because of me. I afflict you. And it's one of the hardest things for us to do. I had a church that had a regulator clock with the pendulum. Okay.
You could hear it.
Mm-hmm. And I knew that people were listening to the clock tick. And I knew they were counting. If the silence is more than a minute, we find it hard to stick with it. We don't know what to do. We get distracted by the clock ticking or any of a surprising number of things. Yet that moment is one of the most important times of our time together. The first letter to the Thessalonians is generally considered to be the first Christian writing, the first Christian writing of the Apostle Paul. When I say first Christian writing, the first Christian writing to be preserved by the community of faith, by the church. The letter was likely written about 45 CE, and we had a pretty good conversation this morning in coffee with Mike about the reasons we could date that kind of stuff. Okay. Some scholars argue persuasively that it is older than any of the Gospels. And sadly, none of the Christian writings are clearly dated, so it's unlikely that anyone will know which of them was the first one that was done. This letter is very important because it's the Apostle Paul's effort to encourage and guide the second church, not the first church, the second church, that he started in Eastern Europe in what we now call Greece. Paul was very worried about the Thessalonians. He'd worked hard at his tent making to earn a living in Thessalonica so he would not have to take money for his preaching. And he'd spent many months preaching and teaching there. He'd broken all the rules there. He paid his own way. He didn't do any miracles or wonders to razzle-dazzle people the way many religious teachers and missionaries of the day would do. Paul refused to make his ministry, his Christianity, into a business venture. That's one of the things that sets Paul apart. Paul was amazed because many people listened to him and discovered Jesus as Lord of their lives. Some Jews and many Greeks were converted. Paul's ministry was so successful that the local Jews who saw Paul as a heretic and those who made money by the local religions, okay, idol makers, got upset, started a riot, and Paul was forced to run from town. The Greek Christians had a particularly hard time after Paul left. Everyone turned against them. Okay? And when I say everyone turned against them, okay, it wasn't like everybody threw rocks at them. It was like when they went down to the village square to market, okay, and wanted to buy some barley. I'm not selling to you. You're one of those Christians. Or I'm going to charge you double because you're one of those Christians. The local people made life miserable for the Christians. Paul sent Timothy to check on things. Timothy apparently brought back a good report. So Paul wrote to the Thessalonian Christians to encourage them to press on in true fashion. There's a sense in which the letter we call 1 Thessalonians is Christianity 101. Paul covered the basics of discipleship. He began with an exhortation to love and grow in love. Okay? One of the things that's difficult is in our language, love has so many different meanings. But Paul used a very specific word for love, agapeo. Love one another with self-transcending love. Get past yourself. Don't be self-centered. Take care of each other. English, we don't have a word that translates that anymore. We used to. Okay, the word was charity. Now it means giving somebody a handout. But when the word was first used in early and middle English, it meant you don't put yourself first. You don't make yourself the center of the universe. You do what it takes to reach out to other people. Love, according to Paul, had specific responsibilities to all people, but especially to other Christians. In particular, Paul said that Christians have a responsibility to help in times of trouble, standing by one another in distress, in times of pain, suffering along with the one who suffers, in tears by crying with the one who weeps, in poverty to offer relief, to the stranger by offering hospitality. That means to share table and roof to make the newcomer feel like they're at home. Then Paul goes on and he says, study to be quiet. Okay? This is another one of those words that in the Greek we don't have a good word in English to translate it to. So it gets translated study. The Greek is closer to a phrase. Become a dear friend of quiet. That's different. Do what it takes to make quiet your dear friend. We assume that quiet's essentially a passive state. However, we are to pursue quiet. We have to cultivate quietness in ourselves and in the whole of our lives. Quietness does not just happen. Think about your best friend. Just happened, right? Quiet, one of our best friends? Quietness has to be carefully crafted. Quietness is just as much an expression of life as is activity. We tend to assume that to live fully means that we simply do more and more. We forget that sometimes the most alive thing to do is to rest and be quiet and not do a thing. Get out of God's way. Let God do God things. Activity and sound drowned out who we are. To discover ourselves, to discover Christ in ourselves, and to hear the voice of God, we need quiet. Quiet isn't merely the absence of outside activity and outside noise. It's also a matter of our inside activity and our inside noise. Many of us lead noisy lives between our ears and in our hearts. We do not allow ourselves inner quietness. We are not at peace with ourselves, with each other, or with God. And we're not talking about a huge, huge task here, okay? I want you to take, it will be a minute, it'll end up being a minute and a half, okay? I want you to count your breath up to 25. Okay, you can wake up now. Okay, I was up here watching shoulders drop. Notice what happened. Okay, yes, for some of it was hard to stay awake. Okay, but it got really quiet, both inside and outside. And how did that happen? We focused on one thing. In our Christian living, it's important that we study to be quiet. It's important that we do what it takes to make quiet a dear friend. It means that we educate ourselves about being quiet. It means that we do research and learn that what we need to be quiet. It means that we practice being quiet. It means that we find out what quiet likes. What does your best friend like? And when you want them to feel good about themselves and about you, what do? You offer them peanut butter, right? Quiet is our dear friend. What does quiet like? In our Christian living, it's important for us to practice being quiet. It may mean that we start with just 1 or 2 minutes a day. Then maybe down the road we do it two or three times a day. Then perhaps we begin to add a few minutes to our quiet time each day. It doesn't have to be a big ordeal. It doesn't have to be talking time to God. Okay? Counting breath. Focusing so that there's nothing there to disturb who we are, what we're doing. In our world of turmoil and noise, it's important that we in our lives allow a little of the peace and quiet of the kingdom of God to blossom in our lives. It's in that quiet that we commune with God. A saint of the past, roughly around the time of World War II, put it this way. The visible deeds of virtue can never be worth much if the inward process is small or has little life. But they can never be of little worth if the inner life is rich and great. The inner life goes on perpetually and draws upon God from the very heart of Him, for the inner life of man is His Son. Therefore, obey the promptings that come to you from within when you have true communion with Him, that is God. And you will learn your requirements, your disciplines, your renunciations, as well as illumination and the peace that passes all understanding. This power is held in stillness, will go far toward stopping wars, for it will indeed move mountains and bring order out of chaos, as it is a living force. This is a quotation taken from a book entitled Letters of the Scattered Brotherhood that was done during the Depression just before World War II. Studying to be quiet means we cultivate the power of God, a power that can transform us and change the world into what God means for us all to be. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you. Now, the last verse of our last song, I'm going to ask that we come forward and do prayers for the prayer quilt. And our closing hymn is 526.
Every trials and temptations.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. Despise, forsake, forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated, or if you want to stand and listen to the announcements, you can do that too. I'm going to sit.
If you'll join me for the benediction. Nope, not yet. God, by whose mercy and might the world turns safely into darkness and returns again to light. We give into your hands our unfinished tasks, our unsolved problems, and our unfulfilled hopes, knowing that only that which you bless will prosper. To your great love and protection, we commit each other and all those whom we love or are concerned about. We know that you alone are our sure defender, through Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Amen. My apologies to y'all. I didn't turn the page before I told you what to do.
Let's see, a few announcements. Martha is working on making some things for our craft table, and she could use some mason jars. So if you have any of those, not the real big, huge ones, but small to medium. And not this coming week, but the following week, she's going to be making those things, and if anybody would like to join her at her house, she would love that and help her assemble what she's doing. So if you want to help with that, see Martha. We also have our holiday craft show is just around the corner, so if you could start baking, we need those cookies, and there's a sign-up sheet I know out in the narthex, so think about that as well. Charge conference is going to be the same day as our craft show. You can come here and participate if you would like. It's through Zoom, but we're going to have the TV up and operating. So look at your notes there, and it tells you the time and everything. Halloween party is going to be, is that
29.
Two Sundays?
Happy hour on the
29th. Sundays. Yep, the 29th. Do we have enough candy, Linda?
Yes.
We do. So please, no more candy. We're good there. Looks like that's about all. But check your bulletins, please. Take them home with you so that you can remember things through the week and what's needed. All right, Linda, did you have an announcement?
I do, real quick. There's an insert in your bulletin, a small one on Project Connect. This is a day on November 1st where we are going to have a table with the blessing bags that we had up front a couple weeks ago, and we will be handing those out. And this will be linking to individuals and families and veterans that are in need. We're also in need of some used coats if you have anything. Please feel free to bring to the church. And Sheila's going to be sitting at the table handing out the blessing bags. If anyone would like to join her, please let her know. Thank you.
Okay, a couple of announcements. One, Todd wanted me to let all the men know that we will be having men's breakfast on Veterans Day, November 11th. And on my behalf,
I would like to say, men, we ought to be ashamed of ourselves. The women in this church are putting us to shame. So I really think we need to start coming to men's breakfast and planning on things that we can do for the church, not just leaving it all on these women. But that's just me speaking. That's not from any of the hierarchy, but you know, I am ashamed. Second, we are going to be having choir after church the first two Sundays in November to work on a couple of anthems for around Thanksgiving, and also again the first couple Sundays in December for a couple of anthems around Christmas. If you'd like to come sing for those, just stay after church and we'll just run through them. You don't have to make a special run, you know, here for a choir practice. We'll just do it right here. Thank you.
One more quick announcement. All Saints Day is coming up too. That's going to be November 5th. So if you have a loved one that you would like to honor that day, please let the church office know. All right?
And don't forget Thursday.
Yep.
Thursday, yes. Have harvest dinner.
Tell everybody to come in and get up.
All right. I think that's it.
Do a better street walk with witches.
Oh, I got a street
walk with witches. Amen. Oh, yeah.